Lord, I thank you for the words you've given us, the warnings you've given us. And I just repent of not understanding, and we all do, not understanding what quickly and very soon means. You know, Lord, we've heard soon before, and soon doesn't mean a whole lot when we've been waiting for years, but now we understand. We thank you for your correction, and we just praise you for it, Father. Lord, hear our prayers tonight. We thank you for it because we know that we're going to pray by the word. And when we pray by the word, they get answered. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. And Father, I just ask that tonight that you lay it in the hearts of everybody here to be seeking you with all their heart and their soul and their mind and their strength. And to ask you, Lord, to get rid of any darkness in us, to get rid of anything in us that's hindering our walk with you, Lord. That's what you ask us to do. And Father, we thank you that you are coming quickly. And you ask us to be praying for those lost ones that we have been praying for, but to press in even harder. And Lord, thank you for that. And we ask, Father, that your warrior angels encamp around about us, Lord, to protect us, to encourage us, and to do the things that we ask, Lord, to do whatever it is that these type of angels do. They war against our enemies. And Lord, we just thank you for all that you're doing in each one of us. And Father, let tonight be a night of reflection on each of our lives, each one of us reflect on each of our lives. And pray for those that are struggling, Lord. And pray for those that have left because of faction, to bring them back, to grant repentance back to them, Lord. And I ask that in the name of Jesus. Be with us tonight, anoint us to say the things that you want us to say. Lead us, guide us. Set a watch before our lips not to say anything other than what you want us to say. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I wanted to start out tonight. Is there any emergency prayer requests right now? If not, I wanted to relate something. I'm going to read this prophecy that Eve got, a word from the Lord. And then I'm going to read another word from the Lord that Debbie got, okay? Because they both go together. And the first one is just to remind you of what the Lord was telling us. Word from the Lord. Yesterday as I was working around 11 a.m., the Lord spoke to me very clearly. I come quickly. Go, my daughter, and write the things I speak and warn my people. So she grabbed her notebook and he said, in a very little while you shall see me. I come quickly. Tell my people to enter into the secret places of their hearts and cry unto me for purity and holiness, to press in to the voice of my Holy Spirit. Listen to my voice in the quiet place. Soften your hearts to my corrections. Cleanse yourselves of all defilement of flesh and spirit. If your hearts are pure and willing, I will fill you with my power to overcome. Separate yourselves from distractions and the useless things of this world and this life. There is so little time left. so little time. Seek me with all your mind, will, and strength, and I will be found of you. Don't faint in the day of adversity. Many judgments and terrible things are coming. Do not get weary of seeking me daily. Do not grow weary of sanctification. Be diligent to be found in me. When I return and judgments fall, will you be found in me? When I return, I just read that. When I return and judgments fall, will you be found in me? Your adversary is increasing his activities, especially against my Holy One, seeking to deceive and destroy as many as will listen to his lies. All idolaters will fall. Wherever idols are found, the enemy will gain access to your souls. The idol of self is the biggest deception. You sit on the throne of your own hearts and are deceived by your own mind, will, and emotion. So put on my whole armor and fight. Do not let down your guard even for a minute. Understand your enemy's tactics. He will use your friends, even your brethren, your family members, and your phones and electronic devices to keep you from obeying this word I speak to you. Resist the distractions and the cunning deceptions and lies. Do not listen to lies. Cast down every vain thought, or these will take root in your heart and mind and exalt themselves above me and my word. And then shall the scales cover your eyes, and your ears will be stopped, and the deceptions will overtake you. You will not even recognize it. So go forth in intercession, void of distractions. Don't be slothful. Pray without ceasing, and I will lead you to victory. You will be found in me, and the devil will have nothing in you. In this way, you will live in the light of my truth. I will lead you forth in victory, conquering all your enemies. I have provided everything you need, but you must use it. And I asked the Father for a text for this word, and my finger was on the phrase, there is no respect of persons. Well, I'm not going to read all of those verses because I wanted to jump up here and let you know what the Lord's saying today. That was last week. Okay, this is from Deborah Finsky. Is she on tonight? Not yet. Oh yeah, there's Denny. What's your name? Hi, Denny. Hi, Debbie. This is from Debbie. Do you want to relate it, Debbie, or do you want me to read it?
You'd have to read it on my phone.
Okay.
Using right now.
Okay. Yeah, I'll do it. Word from the Lord, 8/29/18. That was yesterday. God started speaking to me last week in a couple of the morning meetings and last Friday night's meeting. Since last Friday, after I was done receiving this word, several things were shared here and there that might stuck with or seem to me to confirm things in this word. I had been questioning God about him being bitter, but then he reminded me that he hates. And how in so many places in the Word God expressed what and who his soul hates. And he let me know that he can be bitter too. Then on the last conference call, Michael asked everyone, can God hate? Along with other things this week that have been said, I felt God was confirming this word to me. But I did ask him today to confirm with two heads if I should share this now or wait. I know other words have been spoken that we need to be remembering, yet today I tossed and immediately got to him. Here's what the Lord told him. I am bitter toward my people. I am bitter with anger. Listen, my holy ones. Have I not said that I come quickly? I come quickly with a strong vengeance, for my people disregard me. They disregard my ways. They refuse to seek me out, but stubbornly adhere to their own likes and desires. Yet, though I am bitter with anger toward my people, my mercy will cause me to hear their cries of repentance. Hear my cry, my holy people. I need you. I need you to pray and fight for my lost and stubborn children. And I need you in this day to continually draw close to me. Live in love and faith and in the wisdom of my word and by my spirit. For though living in an evil day already, as I have warned, dark evil is soon to descend upon all the earth. A darkness so gross that the light of my glory to shine forth, penetrating that darkness, drawing my lost people out of the world to the light. I am the light, my holy ones. You are the light. You in me and I in you. The dark and evil day is upon you. Thrust all your faith in me and me alone. There can nothing be of yourself. Yes, the day you are about to enter is a day of deep darkness, but a day of my power. It is the day my glory will be fully revealed in my holy ones. Have I not said, I come quickly? I need you to trust me. I need you to make yourself ready. Make yourself ready. And that was it. Has anybody else had any words like this from the Lord? The other day in the morning meeting, morning prayer meeting, I looked over and I saw Eve looking up at my bedroom door. I said, what is she seeing? I know she's seeing something. And then it came out today. She saw standing up there a large angel, a large warrior angel. He had long black hair, shoulder length black hair. And he had a pouch around him. Yeah, Missy.
I have it right here in front of me. Do you want me to read it?
Yeah, that'd be good.
Okay. She says, I wanted to share what I saw with you guys during the morning prayer meeting several days ago. As I was sitting in the meeting, I looked up at where the warring angel stands in the balcony just outside of Michael's bedroom. My spiritual eyes were opened and I was allowed to see him again. He has shoulder length, wavy, dark brown hair and a deep furrowed brow that gives him a very stern look. His eyes were full of light. He holds a long spear in his right hand and a sword of blue flames in his left hand. He has a leather satchel that hangs low across his chest over towards his right hip. This is how I saw him the first time several months back. But this time when I saw him, he was not holding his sword. And as I looked up at him, he saw that I could see him And he looked down at me with his deep furrowed brow, and now I could see that his eyes were very deep blue, and he smiled at me. I asked him, mind to mind, what do you keep in your bag? He then took his left hand and drew 5 stars out of the satchel and held them out to me. They looked like small, bright balls of white light in the palm of his hand. He answered back to my mind, these are your prayers and the prayers of your brethren when activated by the word. Make sure you pray the word. I knew that he hurled these stars at our enemies as we prayed the word over the various situations we are faced with. This morning I was listening to this account by Howard Pittman, and then she gives a video. It was a video by Howard Pittman. I forget what it was called, but
yeah, anyway. Demons Eye Witness. Demons and Eye Witness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was on YouTube. Anyway.
No, is that it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No, she told.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Well, she says, please, saints, listen to our tactics of our enemy in the spiritual warfare realm. This is so important. That's it. If you want to.
Did you tell about the lights, the 5 lights in your satchel?
Yeah. Yeah, I read the whole thing.
Okay. Oh, I must have missed it. I was fooling around or something. Okay. All right. So, there again, he wants us to pray, of course, using the word. And these prayers are going to be answered. We got these big angels standing around waiting on our prayers. So we all do. We pray according to the word anyway. And that's why we're getting our prayers answered. All right, anybody got any comments or anything they'd like to ask or talk about on these particular words from the Lord? Does everybody understand the urgency that the Lord is putting in to this of our prayers? It's urgent. It is urgent. I'm trying to. So, having said that, has anybody got any prayer requests? Or testimonies? Yeah, Joe.
Well, I guess, I do understand the urgency of these things, but I guess, I mean, my question, I mean, I, you know, when you say, I mean, you know, very soon, or, I mean, you know, when it said soon, could it be like days, months?
Said quickly.
Is there really a time frame?
He said quickly. He didn't say soon.
Yeah.
And I noticed that because in the other times he said very soon. But this time he said quickly.
Quickly, gotcha.
And when he has said very soon in the past, it could be years. But okay. Now he's saying quickly. And that to me, I don't know. He wants us to get ready.
Yeah.
So if he wants us to get ready, he's talking just a few weeks, I suspect. I don't know. We'll see.
That makes more sense.
But it just think about it might be tomorrow. So in that way, you'll feel the urgency that he's putting out there.
Yeah. Well, that's a big one, prayer request for me. I mean, I'm not saying I don't understand the urgency. I mean, absolutely. And I think the enemy can use that against us. I've always found that with me. I think a lot of times when it's like, you know, I hear those urgent messages or those urgent pleas like, hey, you know, take this serious. Get ready. it's easy almost to kind of like shut down in a way and just say, well, I don't feel prepared, or I don't feel like I'm adequate, whatever, you know, whatever those things the enemy puts on mind. So for me personally, I don't know if anyone else feels this way, is pray that I would take it, you know, take that urgency, I mean, very seriously, and just, but not let the enemy, you know, dictate what I will do most of all. Cause I mean, I think, it, I mean, in the past it was very easy, and, you know, unbelief or whatever would come in. I would almost, like I said, I would like shut down, and I wouldn't seek God, period. Cause I think in all, you know, fear would come in and all those things, you know, and it would cause you just to not even do it, not even seek God. Cause you're thinking, well, you know, I don't really know how to, but then of course I'm realizing more and more it's God doing it. So I think for me, just to, you know, that God would just like, I mean, imprint that in my mind, but my heart, hey, you know, okay, here it is, Joe. You know,
what he's telling us, Joe, is this. He's telling us to pray more. Okay. That's the main thing, because he uses our prayers to do the work out there. That's what he uses our prayers for. So praying is number one on the list. We need to pray more, intercede for those people around us, and to ask the Lord. Here's something else that's high up on the list. Ask the Lord to cleanse us of all of that unrighteousness. And don't worry about it. Just believe that he's doing it, okay?
Okay.
And then, of course, reading and studying the Word. What's not important is watching the news on the TV. Watching YouTube, all of those things that we like to do in the flesh, and use that time to study the Word of God and pray and seek the Lord. That's and how do you seek the Lord? Well, by praying and studying the Word.
Yep.
You come across a question, ask the Lord. Lord, I don't understand this. I need you to help me here. And he will.
Yep.
But that's basically it. Has anybody else got any comments on? Yeah, Missy.
Oh, I was on mute. I didn't know it was. If y'all listen to the Bible, the Lord gave me a little snippet of a dream.
You're breaking up.
Oh, really?
You was. Now, go ahead.
Okay. Anyway, I dreamt that David and I were face to face. You know, all I saw was his face, and he says to me, the Lord is at the door now. And that was it. And I started waking up right after that, and my alarm clock went off. So to me, you know, this all goes along with the whole quickly thing. And and when Michael, can I share the verses that I put in? David probably didn't read them just because he had so much packed in there.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm gonna, what the Lord gave me was for that was Acts 17 verse 21, and I put my finger landed on nothing else. And I just want to make some comments on this verse quick here before I read the whole context of it. The verse says, now all the Athenians and the strangers sojourning there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. And there's a lot of things that come to my mind. I mean, something, you know, kind of different came to my mind. But one of the things that came to me was nothing else, but either to tell or to hear some new thing. That made me think of people being so wrapped up in talking about what all is going on politically, or stuff on the news, or just not spending. And also, you know, this Lord calling us to be sober and to pray and everything. And you know, they spent their time in nothing else, you know. In other words, they were just we need to be spending our time wisely, you know, like the Lord's been urging us to do through these words. And that's just some thoughts that came to me. But I'm going to start in verse 16 of chapter 7 and 17 in Acts. And now while Paul waited for them in Athens, his spirit was provoked within him as he beheld the city full of vitals. So he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and devout persons in the marketplace every day with them that met him. And certain also the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers encountered him, and some said, "What would this babbler say?" Others seemed to be a setter forth of strange gods because he preached Jesus and the resurrection. And they took hold of him and brought him unto Areopagus, saying, "May we know what this new teaching is, which is spoken by thee? For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know therefore what these things mean." Now all the Athenians and the strangers sojourning there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. And Paul stood in the midst of Areopagus and said, "Ye men of Athens, in all things, I perceive that ye are very religious. For as I passed along and observed the objects of your worship, I found also an altar with this inscription, 'To an unknown God.' What therefore ye worship in ignorance, this I set forth unto you." And what came to me was about unknown God. You know, to most of the world, most people in the world, they don't know God. You know, he's the, you know, unknown God, you know, that these Christians talk about, they might hear about or whatever. And just what came to me was, is they don't know who he is, but soon he's going to make himself known, especially to those who are his chosen, who are going to realize, you know, that this is God's doing when he brings, you know, the judgments and all. And that's just what came to me. Anyway, to go on, and the God that made the world and all things therein, the God that made the world and all things therein, he being Lord of heaven and earth, dwell not in temples made with hands, neither is he served by men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he himself giveth to all life and breath and all things. And he made of one every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth, having determined their appointed seasons and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek God, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain even of your own poets has said, for we are also his offspring. Now these last verses here, which was the impressed me the most, I believe. Being then the offspring of God, we ought not to think that God, that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and device of man. The times of ignorance, therefore, God overlooked, but now he commandeth men that they should all everywhere repent. And as much as he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. So it's just talking about, you know, the foolishness of the world, you know. And, you know, one of the things that came to me, you know, marrying and being married, eating and drinking, you know, and then suddenly, you know. But yeah, so yeah. We need to be praying for God's elect.
Okay.
Even though we do not know who all they are, praying for the elect and praying and believing for our family, that everybody be repentant and we be repentant. So.
Amen. Go ahead, Wade. Thank you, Miss.
I'm praying for, my wife and I are praying for one of our neighbors. He has cancer, but he doesn't want to live. So he didn't want to live. He's changed. He asked us not to pray for him. Or he asked one of our friends who told us not to pray for him. But we prayed anyways that he would want to live. And the next day he wanted to live. He wanted to find out what chances he might have. And he's a Christian, so he's spirit-filled Christian. So I guess faith. I'm praying for his faith and for that he would live. He has pancreas cancer that spread to the liver. So I mean, that's what the doctors see. What I see is that God is bringing him through some trials, and I would like to pray for him that he would live and he would know the course that God has for him to live.
Okay, go ahead. And if we feel led, we'll pray too.
All right. Thank you, Lord, for our neighbors and our friends, Lord. I pray for my neighbor that he'd want to live, as he's already said, now he wants to live, that he would have that you would lead him how he is to be healed, or if he's to be healed directly by prayer. Lord, I pray for him. His name is Ron. That he would live and not die. And that he would seek to minister grace. And me too, my wife and I also. Thank you for Ron, Lord. Help him to live. Cause him to live. Heal his cancer, Lord, or whatever that is. Let him come through this with flying colors. Amen.
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 Hallelujah. Look, we lift up Ron to you, Lord. You said in your word that you took our illnesses and bore our diseases. He said he's a believer. We believe he's a believer. And we thank you, Lord, that he's not under the curse. And we just come against that cancer right now in the name of Jesus. We command that spirit of cancer off of Ron in the name of Jesus. And we command that pancreas to be healed in the name of Jesus. We command every organ in his body to be healed in the name of Jesus. And we command that cancer off of him, the fear of cancer off of him, and that spirit of death off of him in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you that he's going to be a testimony to everybody there that he believes. And we thank you, Lord, for giving him that faith to believe what your word says. Your word says when we're praying and we believe, we're going to have it. Lord, I'm praying for Ron. I'm believing for Ron. And I know he's going to have it. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Y'all believe that?
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Well, okay. Anybody else? Got a question or comment on what we just got through relating to you? Or a testimony or a praise report or whatever? Yeah, George.
I've been, seems like 2 Timothy came to mind of Paul instructing Timothy how to endure and be a good soldier and the discipline and stirring up the gifts that's within him and reminding him of the faith of his relatives there and how he was raised in faith. But I'm just reading through all of it, basically, of 2 Timothy, reminding me of the times that we're talking about, how we're going to be dealing with the world and men and all kinds of different obstacles and people.
Amen. Did you want to read some of those?
One 6 says, "For which cause I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us not a spirit of fearfulness, but of power and love and discipline. Be not ashamed, therefore, of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but suffer hardship with the gospel according to the power of God who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before times eternal, but hath now been manifested by the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, wherein I was appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher." Like I said, that's where I started when I looked it up to begin with, but I just kept reading and reading and reading, and there's just, it's kind of like it, everybody, when you get into a word, that you could go on forever with it. Basically, it's all so good.
Well, let me unmute myself. I said amen. And, I'd like to read some of them too. Is that all right? That's some good stuff in chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 1. "Thou therefore, my child, be strengthened in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things which thou hast heard from me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." Now here's another one. "Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus." No soldier on service, talking about real soldiers, natural soldiers, "entangles himself in the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enrolled him as a soldier." That's the way God wants us to be too, not to be entangled with the things of this life, to keep focused on him. "And if also a man contend in the games, he is not crowned, except he have contended lawfully. And the husbandman that laboreth must be the first to partake of the fruits. Consider what I say. For the Lord shall give thee understanding in all things." Amen.
Michael?
Yes.
Who's that husbandman?
Who is the husbandman?
Yeah, in 6.
Is this a trick question?
Well, you know, I want to bring out that 6:1 a little bit more.
Go right ahead.
The one has to partake of the fruits first. You know, if you're faced with something, I think when that fruit of Christ comes into you for that first time, and you overcome something, you're giving glory to God for it. What's that?
That was thunder. Yeah, he's put a little emphasis on that ahead. Go ahead.
And that, you know, that's all I just want to put an emphasis that when you get something from God like that, and he's got to partake of it first, you know, it's not you doing it, it's him. And it's that emphasis, you know. And I've just finished Timothy myself, and I'm on Titus now. And you know, there's a lot of things in chapter 3 on those people who are going to test this six here to see if you bore this fruit. And, you know, sometimes we might not be there yet. We may have an error, but we have to quickly confess that, you know. And I like some of the ifs down here in 11, 12. There's two ifs in 12, and in 13 there's an if too, and it's always we after that, you know. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Faithful the saying, for if we die together, we shall also live together. You know, I was just listening also today before I came on to How Shall We Die? Mm-hmm. If we endure now, you know, when that word endure came up there, I have a little note here on the side in Matthew 24, 13, to endure to the end. You know, if we endure, we shall also reign together. You reign in accordance to what you have, too. You know, like, from some of us, the Lord's going to probably expect a lot more. Like, because I know there's some really educated people here. And it's what you have. If we shall deny him, he shall also deny us. If we are faithless, he abideth faithful. For he cannot deny himself. But of course, you know, I think that's kind of where a new thought starts after that on 14. And but all these in chapter 3 is, you know, kind of the same warning actually in the letters of Peter too there. And these are the guys that
you know, you've been reading out of 2, not 3.
I think he froze.
Yeah, he froze up there for a minute. Are you back with us, Andrew? Everybody froze up. Can y'all hear me? Uh-oh, I think I lost it.
But it doesn't mention anything about the woman he was with, you know. Showing that perhaps that with youth, God could be a little bit more merciful, I guess, because the older person should have known better. Anyway, that's some of the things I've been thinking about. On how you have some of these characters, and another one in the third letter of John, there's another name there that was in the church that apparently at one point in time went astray somehow, or went off somehow, you know. And it's kind of scary to see that these people were with the best in Christianity at the time. And they sort of backslid, and I don't know if they never returned or whatever. So that's scary about them. and so, sort of just to keep you on your on guard there to the trust in the Lord. And you know, it also talks about the fear of the Lord in chapter 14 of Revelation. Those who fear the Lord. And it just makes you come to that place where high reverence has to be put. Anyway, I'm just a little bit shaky here, so I'm going to stop now.
Okay. Well, I must have lost y'all there for a minute. I guess my internet connection was lost for a minute. But anyway, I'm back. Yeah, Pat.
I was listening to Andrew talk about that those verses, and then there in 14. Verse 14, it says, of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them in the sight of the Lord that they should strive not about words to no profit.
Can you all hear me?
Going to contradict it, where it contradicts our life, we have to be willing to obviously say, whatever my experience is or whatever I'm experience that is failing is wrong as compared to God's word must be right, so I need to rethink, research, seek God, and find the truth that is the cause of that I'm missing, and be willing to correct what I'm thinking and what I'm believing, which obviously is repentance. So
let me interrupt here just a minute. I've been knocked off again. Matt, are you going to be on the rest of the night? Okay, I'm going to make you co-host in case something happens, okay? All right. Sorry about that, Pat. Go ahead.
That's all right. So it was just hitting me. One of the thoughts that I had – point that you and I believe, we believe it's truth, because there isn't any of us that willingly knows that we are seeing or believing in a deception or something that's not true. If it's not true, you're not really believing in it. But if you are believing that it is true, then that is when you can be deceived. I don't know, I'm probably babbling now, profane babblings. Maybe you ought to shun this. So the point is we have to be willing, I have to be willing as I read the word, where I might find myself in contradiction to that, is to be willing to open myself up to the Lord and be willing to change my mind and seek to understand His particular way. And as we do that, I believe God enlightens us and brings us into that. He's given us the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth. So I don't know why I said all of that. It's just that these verses here in 2 Timothy kind of hit me. Andrew's comments about these people were part of the church. What did they do? They drifted away in some form or another in believing the truth of the word, or they left themselves in a place or position where they were unwilling to receive external correction to correct their to correct them in their error. So that's all I had to say.
Okay. I heard some of that. I was knocked off again. That's okay. All right. Anyone else comment on these 2 Timothy verses? Or the word from the Lord? Yeah, George.
Just quickly, the gist of 2 Timothy I'm getting is that Paul understands that he's coming to the end of his ministry, and he's willing to hand this off and multiply it, and he's given specific examples of error to avoid. It's kind of like when you've a master craftsman and you've made mistakes, and you can teach your young disciple, this is a mistake you don't have to make. I've bumped into these kind of people. We've tried to work with them and all this other stuff. And, you know, the error is kind of like a road sign to hear when you see them doing this or come across a certain spirit of worldliness. You know, you got to keep moving and run your race, and you keep doing these good things, and you keep reminding yourself of the faith and keep holding on to the good things I've told you and all the good things, and just move past this error and these little pools of people who don't want to run with you and don't want to progress the gospel. So I think even in our times, we're going to see that. We're going to come across people who are highly educated beyond being useful. They're actually enemies of the cross. They're with the program, you know. So maybe I put myself out there quite a bit with a lot of people, and kind of get to the point fairly quickly with. You know, I'll walk with somebody if I can walk with them. But then as soon as I try to get some key things out in the open and leave myself vulnerable for correction if I need correction. But I also want to, I don't want to deny the Lord if I'm going to walk with somebody. I want to get it all out there. And I think, you know, these instructions from Paul are very important for all the various people that we will run into.
Well, absolutely. One thing you need to remember, everybody needs to remember this. Always, always leave yourself open for correction. Not any one man has all the answers, okay? So that's you know, I always try to leave myself open for somebody. You hear something come out of my mouth that's not right, you know. I wanted to listen. Just need to prove it with the scripture. All right. Anyone else? Matt, I made you co-host, man. I had a sign that went up here after everybody was froze up that says, your internet connection is unstable. Okay. As I've been on and in and out all night, but anyway, hey, Anna, Natasha,
if I might say something. That's more of a confession that, you know, tonight I was reading in James, and you know how James talks a lot about the trials and tribulations that we go through, and how it's, you know, it's more proving precious like gold. And you know, I've been going through a lot of trials at work, and I just, you know, wanted to confess that my heart wasn't in the right place at times, at work with coworkers, and that I know the Lord's working all this flesh out of me, one coworker at a time. So thank you, Lord.
Amen. In Romans 1, it says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hinder the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which is known of God is manifest in them, for God manifested it unto them. For the invisible things of him since the creation of the world are clearly seen, being perceived through the things that are made, even his everlasting power and divinity, that they may be without excuse, because that, knowing God, they glorified him not as God, neither gave thanks, but became vain in their reasonings, and their senseless heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God for the likeness of an image of corruptible man, and of birds, and four-footed beasts, and creepy things. Wherefore God gave them up in the lust of their hearts unto uncleanness, that their body should be dishonored among themselves." We see that going on every day, don't we? With lots of these churches out here. They allow every kind of sin imaginable in their churches. But anyway, God wants a clean church, doesn't he? He wants a clean body. He didn't want a leavened body. He wants an unleavened body, leavened with the word, you know. All right, anybody else? Yeah, Joe.
The Lord showed me last week, I got Malachi 1:6. I think it fits with all us. A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. Even I am a father, where is my honor? And if I'm a master, where is my fear? Says Jehovah of hosts unto you, O priest, I despise my name. That was quite important to me last week. There was a time when asking the Lord about my situation with the work and all the political issues. He says, just gave me this verse.
Joe, what one was that again?
Malachi 1:6.
Michael, you muted.
Oh, it was good too. Oh my. A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I am a father, where is mine honor? And if I am a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests that despise my name. And ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? And then verse 7, ye offer polluted bread upon mine altar. And ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. How many of you knows that there's a lot of churches out there preaching a different Jesus than what's in the Word of God? Polluted. Polluted bread. Polluted word. We want the true Word of God. We want the whole Word of God. We don't want just the bits and pieces here and there brought into a place to make my flesh feel good. God wants us to get rid of the flesh. All right, anyone else? Andrew, go ahead, brother.
Yeah, just to add a little bit to that, what you just said there, it says in the scriptures in a few places that we should all have the same mind, we should all speak the same thing, and it even says write the same thing. You know, so I keep thinking when people mention this kind of thing of Ephesians 4:4, you know, and there's lots of singular items there in Ephesians 4:4, and they're not really thinking that way. I don't know why. You know, it could it be that because letter of the word came to them, and they taught it as teaching, and they taught it as prophecy, and they added to the word that way, or they took away from the word that way, that now, after a bit of time passed with that letter, that he put them under the law also to show them that they have the letter of the word, and now they have a law instead of grace, and they put them under a law, an Old Testament law or something. And that's how the deterioration of some of these denominations may have happened. And I just think that, and I go, well, wherever they're under the law, they're going to have the letter in prophecy and the letter in teaching. It has to be that way. And I've looked and looked and thought about it on the denominations that I was in, and it always seems to prove true that where the law, where they put people under the law, they have the letter for teaching and prophecy. And some of the things that are added and taken away in these churches are just easy and plain to see. But they're advocate to believe that this is the truth. You know, there is some very huge disorder, and they don't seem to think it's disorder. So I sometimes wonder those people who commit like adultery and fornication, since the Lord is sovereign and oversees everything, and some of these people have been people in the pulpits, you know, who spoke from pulpits, why wouldn't they take this as a warning to them, at least that, to know that well, for instance, I'll put it to you this way. In the churches, in two of the churches of Revelation, it says to eat things sacrificed unto idols and to commit fornication. These are people in the church, and they're actually doing the physical act, not realizing that they've done this in the spirit long before the physical act came. And they agape'd a different word. And that's why they perhaps were put under this adultery or fornication. And why is it that they don't see these things? Being a man who even studied, you know, and why is it that they don't see the spirit of the word? Is it because it's just taken away from them? Because they've put some other young vessel who just came to the Lord and went through the waters of baptism under the law. You know, would not the Lord try to correct some of this and be merciful? upon these people, considering the outcome of these things. And it's just very troublesome to think of these things, because the more I do think of them, I could go into a frenzy of pity for them. And we're talking an eternity here. Is this just a sin of ignorance on them? Will God consider this as a sin of ignorance for them, or a sin of error? Is this not gross indecency on some of these items, and not just a flicker of forgetfulness, as some of us have had? I've you know, sometimes you're not always as focused as you want to be. You know, a thing happened to me on the bus the other day. I got on the bus, I sat down, I was in the front chair, and a bunch of people came on one of the stops, and the bus driver called out and said, "You got to make room for the people coming on, you know, priority seating." I was in one of the priority seating places where you're supposed to give up your seat to the elderly or to the pregnant, but none of those were getting on, you know. But there was a lady that got on with her child that was 9, and the child sat across from me, and the lady stood up and called to the bus driver, "I'm ready to go." But the bus driver was adamant that we have to give up our seat. And then I looked over, because I wasn't sure whether he was talking to me, and he said, "Yeah, I'm talking to you." So I got up to give my seat to the, I guess, the mother that was there. I was older than anyone getting on. And I did something wrong. I said to the bus driver, "Nobody's taking my seat, sir. Why did you tell me to get up?" And then he said, "For the lady." And I said, "The lady told you that she was okay. She didn't need a seat." And I suddenly realized, in a bit of confusion, that I was actually defending myself there. So the worldly will come against you for absolutely no reason. For no reason at all. And you're going to goof up. And of course, I repented of that before God and said, "Lord, I should have just let it go." And but you know, it's like sometimes you're tired at the end of the day after work and you want the seat to go home. The whole point was, is the next stop was mine. And actually the bus driver was watching to see if I was going to wait at the bus stop, because sometimes you just get off the bus when an ordeal like that happens. But, you know, that which just happened to be my stop. So that's, you know, and when some people are attacked that way, you know, like they did this during the Second World War to Jewish people. They attacked them for no reason. And the smart ones knew that they weren't allowed to defend themselves as much as, but if they gave any talk back, they got a good reprisal for what they said. Because my mom told me a story about what she saw once, and not really a good story. So it involved a very elderly lady who was a Jewish person. And, you know, so I'll just leave it at that anyway.
Okay. Come on, Andrew, give your seat up next time, okay? I know it sounds kind of silly, but yeah. Amen. All right, anyone else? Yeah, Matt. Nope. Okay. Anyone else? what Andrew was talking about there struck me, because I got to thinking about all the different denominations, all the different religions out there. And who was it read the scriptures about one body? Ephesians 4:4. Was that you, Andrew? Yeah, there's one body, one spirit, even as also you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, and one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But unto each one of us was the grace given according to the measure of the gift of Christ. When you change the Word of God to suit yourself, to suit your flesh, you absolutely close yourself off to the truth. The people that are in those sinners saved by grace, and there's many denominations out there that believe that. Sinners saved by grace. We're going to fly out of here before all the bad news starts. Business. The Lord, the leaders of those things that know better, that have read the Word of God, that have denied the power of God, the Holy Spirit, it takes it out of them, and they do live by the letter. They don't have faith for anything. They don't have faith to believe that God can provide for their body. And so they go back to the letter, like Andrew was talking about, and get tithes from the people. Go ahead, Tim.
During this last few minutes of things being brought up, it keeps coming to my mind about seek out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And everybody that we're talking about, all these different groups, they're not seeking themselves. They're letting somebody else tell them what's in the book, and they're not finding it out for themselves. And earlier I was telling my son that what I'm hearing here is let God be true and every man a liar. So if the what you're hearing from man doesn't jive with the word, you gotta go to the book, and you've got to go and just reiterating kind of what you're saying there, that we've gotta search it out ourselves, and we can't take somebody else's word for it.
Well, absolutely. Just like Andrew was alluding to, your salvation, your soul depends upon whether or not you're right or wrong. And why you would leave it up to a man, another man, to tell you where you're supposed to be and what you're supposed to believe is crazy. That's craziness. But what happens is, I saw it happen in my granddaughter. She was filled with the Holy Spirit, and then when she got married, she went to a Baptist church and became leavened. Believe that sinner saved by grace garbage. And of course, I told her, I said, you're putting your salvation in man's doctrines, and that's very dangerous. I said, you need to read and study the Word of God. And I gave her some scriptures. I said, check this out. That'll show you right quick that the sinner saved by grace garbage is garbage, just that. But anyway, that's we are one body, and then we have one spirit, the Spirit of Christ in every one of us. And that's the way it ought to be. It's not the 12th Street Baptist Church of the burning bush, and then over on the other one, it'd be the 3rd Baptist Church on 15th Street, or whatever. No, we're all one in Christ. Look, in the times ahead, you ask a question also, Andrew. What's God going to do? Well, you're fixing to see what he's fixing to do. He's fixing to shake this world, shake the church world into a place where they're going to either have to deny Christ or accept Christ for who he really is. Because, I'll tell you why, because their doctrine won't save them, but Christ will. And they're going to see, they're going to remember the things that you've told those people out there. And they're going to remember the things that I've told those people out there. Okay, when time comes, you just give me a call and I'll tell you what to do. Well, you know what I'm going to tell them, don't you? It's like you're going to tell those that call you. I'm going to tell you, hit your knees and repent, brother, and start believing. That's what Jesus said. Repent and believe. That's what he told us. Repent and believe what? Well, believe what the Word of God says. All the promises in there. And there's a lot of ifs in there too. Praise God for all of us. But yeah, this tribulation that's coming is for one thing. It's to shake up. He's going to cleanse his church first, isn't he? Then he's going to take care of the rest of it. We have 3.5 years to get this faith message when this thing starts. And if you don't get it in that first 3.5 years, I'm here to tell you, you're not going to get it. He's going to shut that door on the Gentiles, and he's going to open it up for the Jews. Well, is anybody going to be saved out of the Gentiles? Well, yeah, I expect so, but I don't know if it's going to be very many. He said he's going to shut the door on it, you know, just like he did the Jews the first time. He shut the door on it. You know, we got a Jew here and a Jew there that gets saved occasionally. That's where it's going to be, I suspect, in the last 3.5 years. What you want to count on that for? Let's go ahead and get that faith message down and start believing what the Word of God says. And walk into this thing with one thing in their mind, and that's Jesus. If you've got the world on your mind coming into this thing, you're going to have a hard time. If you walk in there right now, if let's say the tribulation starts tomorrow, and you're already been walking in faith and all that, you're not going to have near the trouble that a lot of these people are going to have. Most of them don't even believe that the Holy Spirit, that we can get baptized in the Holy Spirit, that he is power. All that passed away. Okay, we're going to see. Because God, people, y'all, are going to show them that the Holy Spirit has not passed away, hasn't gone by the wayside. He doesn't do that anymore. He doesn't heal anymore. He doesn't deliver anymore. He doesn't provide anymore. He doesn't protect you anymore. Because Walmart's going to be closed. The dollar ain't going to be worth nothing. The police going to have the hands full. Amen. Okay. Anybody else got a good verse? Okay, Missus. You got a verse or a book?
Chapter now. Okay. I came across this the other day. I hadn't read it in a while or even heard anybody, quote it or read it. And when you said about the door being shut or something or whatever, it reminded me of it. It's Luke 13, I guess, starting at verse 22. And he went on his way through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying on unto Jerusalem. And he said, and one said unto him, Lord, are they that are I can't read tonight. In Jesus' name, I can. Lord, are they few that are saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in by the narrow door. For many, I say unto you, shall seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house has risen up and has shut the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, open to us. And he shall answer and say to you, I know you not whence ye are. Then shall ye begin to say, we did eat and drink in thy presence, and thou didst teach in our streets. And he shall say, I tell you, I know not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. Therefore shall be the weeping and the gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and yourselves cast forth without. And they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and the south, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. And behold, there are last who shall be first, and there are first who shall be last. And there's, you know, they said, you know, we did eat and drink in thy presence, and thou didst teach in our streets. I mean, there's going to be, this kind of makes me think of during the first 3.5 years, you know, this is going to be reversed, like you were saying, you know, the door is going to be shut on the Gentiles. And it's going to go back to the Jews, whereas like before you were saying, you know, the man child's going to be their teaching.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And they're not going to receive it, and the door's going to be shut. You know. Anyway.
But you know, Missy, there's going to be a bunch of them come out of those,
right?
Churches, all of them.
Oh yeah.
There's going to be some that come out that won't.
Ones who don't.
Do what?
This is going to be talking about the ones who don't listen to what the man child's going to be saying. You know, what the Lord's going to be saying through the man child. You know?
Yep.
Yep. So.
I mean. Yeah, Pat, go ahead, brother.
I've been thinking about this when somebody said tonight brought this thought up to me, that way back when I was in the Baptist church, the Lord kind of opened my eyes up to this scripture, this section of the word here, but it was was kind of confusing to me at the time, until I picked up on the apparent contradiction of this thing, of what's happening, let's just say in the apostate church of today. But it was specifically with this group of people that I knew, because we at that time, or that particular flavor of religion there was, they were kind of anti-charismatic, or say anti-Pentecostal, or whatever it would be. And because of that, they considered that they trusted the Word of God, the written Word of God, no matter what. That was what they trusted in, type of thing. And feelings and everything else are out. Don't have to worry, you know, you set the written Word of God up as a primary foundation, which in fact is true. But and this is where I was kind of scratching my head of, why am I seeing these apparent contradictions, Lord, here, when these people around me are putting your word first, and they are, and they say they adhere to your word. You know, that's what the Baptists do. So in John, he took me over to John 5, 36, chapter 5, verse 36, where he started out, and Jesus was talking, and he said, but the actually he's talking about John the Baptist that gave witness of him or whatever he said, but the witness which I have is greater than that of John. For the works which the Father hath given me to accomplish, the very works that I do bear witness of me, that the Father has sent me. And then this verse is what I kind of keyed in on. Verse 37, it says, and the Father that sent me, he hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his form. And that I clicked in on that, those words that said, when Jesus was talking to these Pharisees, he's talking to the Pharisees or the publicans or whatever they were at that time, the religious crowd. And he said to them, ye have neither heard his voice at any time. And for 538, he said, and you have not his word abiding in you, for whom he sent, him ye believe not. And then this is the clinker. You search the scriptures because ye think that in them ye have eternal life. And these are they which bear witness of me. And you will not come to me that you may have life. And the Lord showed me that his word, he took the time, obviously, and the patience to write and create his word and preserve his word through the eons of time and through massive attempts of trying to destroy that word, and was able to preserve that word even into our time here. That word is so absolutely important and significant, but that word is there that we may read, believe, and hear his voice and be led to Jesus for that relationship with Jesus. For it is that relationship, obviously, with Jesus that we are saved, and our guidance by the Holy Spirit and hearing his voice and taking that guidance and receiving that deliverance. And when I found myself in that church and I realized they believe the scripture, they believe the words, at least they said they did, yet somehow very few were taking those words and being led to Jesus and being led to his voice and being led to confirm, to use that written word to confirm what Jesus is telling us and putting in our heart to understand and to do. And so the missing connection, I think, is that word does not lead them to hearing God's voice and receiving his word. But I believe that, as you're saying, Michael, that we're coming into a time when the pressure of the world and God's going to strip all of our dependence from this world system, and just taking that written word of God and reading it, but not being able to take that word and believe and receive and be led to Jesus, is where the failure, I believe, is at. But I believe that many of the people in those churches that have this foundation of at least trusting in that written word, that God is going to open up their eyes and make this connection and allow that to take place. So that was basically all I had to say.
Okay. Well, yeah, there's going to be some people in those churches that see the truth, and God's going to open up their spiritual eyes to see. There's going to also be a bunch of them in there, in those churches, more than not, that won't change because their doctrine is more important than the Word of God. And that's real true in a lot of these denominational churches, is they'd rather have the doctrine over the Word of God. And you can, I've done it myself. What about this scripture? What about this scripture here? Or what about this one over here? And they say, well, that's just the way you interpret it. What, how in the world would you interpret it, you know? And they can't give you an answer. But it's doctrine over and above the Word of God that's going to get a bunch of them in trouble with God. But that's the reason he's going to shake the good people out of those churches. He's going to separate them from them. And that's why God wants us ready, so that we'll be able, through our experiences and our time with the Lord, to disciple these people. And they're going to want to know, you know, why did this happen? Why did I believe a lie? Well, the letter killeth, and the Spirit giveth life. You know, you can start down that road with it, because you didn't have the Spirit of God. You didn't believe that that you could be indwelt with the. It's a different baptism. You know, they believe. Most of them believe. I don't know. I know a lot of believe that you get everything you're going to get when you come to Jesus upon salvation, that there's no separate experience, and they deny the power of the Holy Spirit. But anyway, God's going to change that. He's going to show them the power. These men that are called the man-child ministry are going to have the power of God that backs them up. And it's going to be an awesome time for God's people. Yeah, George, go ahead.
I was just praising the Lord, but I do get to experience a lot of what we're talking about here. And if they've been teaching a separation from Christ since Schofield put the notes in that Bible, then we're talking hundreds of years and generations of error and blinders being placed on the Western world, and the evangelism that's gone out has been separating from Christ. There's been a remnant that has had to fight against the current of that error, and that true shepherd that is coming is really going to clean house. You talk about shaking the church and setting things in order. It's not going to be, we don't have a clue how hard that shaking is going to be, and how these nice little grannies and all these sweet people on these pews are going to be rocked out of everything that they've heard and thought they knew. And Percy Stone or whoever these guys are on TV, you can't turn flip a channel or turn a corner without having these bullies basically ridicule you for believing the truth. If you try to hold on to the truth of what we're learning and trying to not catch that separation, that law that they're pushing, you get bullied. You get, you know, you really get your faith tested by, you know, well, how strongly, what, you know, you have to, you almost have to really examine and stand on this word over and over and over and over to make sure nobody can knock you off of the truth, because we're bombarded with it. And it's very, it comes in a package that tries to be very cute and very clever and trendy and anything fashionable and everything else you can think of. And boy, it really makes you want to live a plain life before the Lord and be wide open for Him to really take any of that leaven away, because we've been, you know, thank God the Word of God is like leaven and it is ruling the day when you give yourself over to truth. And I keep trying to tell myself to think on things that are holy and honest and truthful and good, and but it's just so hard not to hear that leaven. You know, you want to have fellowship with people, but it's like a real thick blinder on their eyes that you can't, you know, you have to push it to separation from them to even get the truth to them. It's decision time anytime you really want to have a conversation with them. And it's generations. I mean, it's the 80-year-olds, it's the 40-year-olds, it's, you know, anything in between. It's the Sunday school classes, and it's you know, it's in coloring books. It is not good.
No, it's not. Go ahead, Pat.
I was just to follow up on that. I was thinking, it's easy to lose heart, because I do it all the time. I can tell you how easy it is. But the fact of the matter is that, though it has been a generation of, or generations of, traditions and theologies and various other things like that, to a certain degree, it's like the devil has built these mountains of authority, which are mountains of deception. And they seem very massive because they are massive. But the important thing to realize is that it only takes when it's and the example that came to me when I was, I think I was before I was even a Christian, I decided that it was more logical not to lie. I don't think I had any specific righteous perspective about it, but it was a logical decision not to tell lies, not to lie about things, but rather just tell the truth up front. Because when you lie about something, you are then forced to remember what that lie was, and then you have to continue to lie about that particular thing in order to cover it up. And so it takes so much energy to keep a lie covered, and you always have to bolster and create a new thought about something or think about something. You're building a wall to protect that particular lie. And you take up a lot of mental energy and a lot of thought, and you have to have a good memory and everything. And if you just decide not to lie, I'm going to tell the truth about everything, then you know, you can forget it after that. You don't have to worry about it, because you don't have to remember if you told the truth in a specific thing, you just remember that if it ever comes up again, you tell the truth. So it's a very simple thing. Well, the point being is that the devil has his kingdom is built on lies. And there's an awful lot of energy being consumed just to keep that lie and that mountain of lies functioning. But it only takes one strategic truth to bring that whole mountain down. It only takes one truth down there at the foundation to shine the light on one specific area that takes away the support that all those other lies have. So, and I think of the scriptures when the Lord returns in the man-child, there is going to be a laying low. He's going to take the high places down. He's going to take those high mountains of lies and the pride that produces them, and he's going to lay them low, because he's going to lay them low with the word of his mouth, the truth. He's going to shatter those lies. And so even though this kingdom of darkness that is there seems to be so massive and is massive, I think in the right timing, the Lord is going to take those lies down with the strategic truths that he gives us and the guidance of the Holy Spirit to use them. So that's all.
Amen. He's going to do it dramatically. Yep, he will. And they're going to be left out there hanging, wondering what happened. Y'all remember Howard Pittman, don't you? What happened to him? He went up there to heaven. They told him, let me show you where you're fixing to go, hot shot. And they showed him. He told him, but Lord, I built all these fine buildings. I did this. I did that. I did this. I've got a big church, and I got this. I got that. And the Lord told him, didn't do a thing for me. He wants Jesus. He doesn't want Howard Pittman. He wants Jesus. He wants to see Jesus. He that descended is going to ascend. If Jesus descended, he's going to ascend. Jesus. Okay. Anybody else? Yeah, Missy.
Well, when Pat was talking about that, it made me think of, my own experience in seeing, a demonic doctrine of demon, and that to prove that, they got to, which is a lie, they got to use another piece of scripture and twist it to back it up, and that's a lie, and they make prove this doctrine, which is a lie. I mean, it's just lie upon lies, and it's such confusion, and it's such deception. I mean, it's just ridiculous. I mean, when I think about what I came out of and things that I was taught, and I was like, oh my gosh, thank you, Lord, that you brought me out of that, And I just can't wait to see, most of us know way more people that are in deception in the churches than we know people that really are walking in the truth, And we're gonna see a lot of awesome things, a lot of people coming out of from under the lies that they've been in. Just can't wait to see it.
Amen. Something I was sitting here thinking about. Y'all remember when you got a new revelation about the truth in the word, and you take it over to your old buddies, and They said, well, where did you get that garbage? You know, well, I got it out of the Word of God. Well, I never heard that. Can't be in there because I ain't never heard it. And you learn real quick not to cast your pearls before swine, because they're just going to hoodoo it, you know, and they're going to twist it. Well, that doesn't mean that. It means this or what? No. You know, so I make sure that somebody's open to the truth of the word before I ever give them any pearls of a great price, you know. And I ask them, I said, do you believe the word? I don't ask them for Christians anymore. I ask them for believers. Are you a believer? And what is a believer? What in your imagination is a believer? Well, I believe the word of God from Genesis to Revelation. I believe everything in it. Okay, let's try it out. Let me try you out. Let me try one out on you here. You know, and you go in, you start talking about healing. You start talking about deliverance. You start talking about demons. Start talking about demons with them people. See what happens. You'll find out real quick they're not believers, because they got demons. Them demons are manifest. Okay. We're about out of time here, about ready to close out. Does anybody need any prayer requests? Get any prayer requests before we leave out? Can I pray for everybody first? Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I ask that you place it in every one of us to run after you, Lord, with all our heart. And Father, show us the word. Open up the word to each one of us in a greater way than we have before. I know that most of us have learned a lot by listening to David and reading the books. But Father, there's so much more in that word of God. There's just layer upon layer upon layer of truths in there. And Lord, I ask that you keep opening up the word of God to each one of us. Because, you know, I've got a part to play in this body. All of these good people here have a part to play in this body. And we all need to be prepared to do whatever it is that you're going to have us doing here in the next little bit. And I ask, Lord, that you place it in each one of us the hunger and the wherewithal to run after you, Lord, with all our hearts. We need that, Lord. We can't do it on our own because our flesh gets in the way. So we ask that you do it for us, Lord. And we're going to have the faith, Lord, to believe, because you've already given us the faith. We're going to have the faith to believe that you are doing that work in us, and that we're just going to forget about the world and start seeking you with all our heart, and start praying for these people out there and interceding for the lost in our families and the places around us, in our workplaces, in the people that we meet every day and see every day. And even the people in Walmart, as we're walking in Walmart, Lord, we see people with demons all over that we just pray for them. Lord, set them free, you know, that kind of stuff. Lord, just let us be ever vigilant to speak the word of God when you want us to speak it. And not only that, to pray for folks all the time. And I thank you for the work that you're doing in us, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to keep us and provide for us and show us these things. And we're going to be eating high on the hog because you're going to provide. We're going to be eating whatever it is that you want us to eat. And that's the word of God mostly. And Lord, you said we can eat that word of God and we're going to live. There's going to be streams of living water flow out of each one of us. That's because you're putting that word in us. And Lord, we thank you for these times together that we can all express what you've given us. And we long for the next time that we all can get together, Lord. Replace these old stony hearts with the heart of flesh, Lord. Make our hearts like yours, Lord. Full of love for everybody, even those that come against us, Lord. Let us have that type of love, because we can't do it in our own. We can do it with your help. And we thank you for all that you're doing in each one of us, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else? Yeah, go ahead, Joe. Joe D. I'll get back to you, Joe, in a minute, Joe Brooks.
Well, I'd just like prayer. I'm bogged down about everything. I'm trying not to, but I just need prayer for myself. I feel like that tall right now, and maybe that's a good feeling, but yeah, I need prayer to go forward. I'm drained right now. I'm bogged down. I'm trying not to be discouraged, and I need to keep telling myself and believe, Joe, you don't have anything that you can do this. You need to look solely to the Lord and believe that he can do it.
All right, let's pray. Let's pray. I see what is going on right now. In the name of Jesus, I command that spirit of condemnation off of him. I command it to go. I command that spirit of rejection to go. I command that spirit of confusion to go off of him in the name of Jesus. And Father, I thank you for the work that you're doing in Joe. I ask, Lord, that you give him the joy and the rest in the word, Lord, that he needs. And I thank you for it, Father. I thank you, Lord, that he is delivered of any confusion and any fear and any condemnation. Condemnation, as we all know, if you get that, you've lost faith. And so, Lord, we just thank you that he's not experiencing that anymore. But we've prayed the prayer of faith, and that thing got to go. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in Joe. Amen, Joe. You believe that?
Amen. Yeah.
Okay, brother.
Amen.
All right. Joe Britz, go ahead, brother.
Amen. When you were busy praying, I just got a vision of a dark, very dark clouds coming towards or us or me, or whatever. It was just a vision I got. I don't usually get it in prayer time, but I just got it. I just say to you.
Yeah. Okay, that's what the Lord said was coming, was dark times is coming. Very quickly, he said. And that's why he wants us ready. Look, Joe DeBrosi.
Yeah.
Just remember this. The Lord accounts you righteous for what you know. Okay?
Yeah.
So wherever you are, in Christ, as long as you're still going forward in Christ, you're counted as righteous. It's not what I say or any man says what's righteous, it's what God says.
Yeah.
And so we're accounted righteous wherever we are in him. And so don't think that you've been left behind or anything like that, because it ain't going to happen. As long as you believe, as long as you're going forward, you're okay. Just believe by faith that you are, you know.
Yeah, the enemy's tearing me up in that area.
Yeah.
Just trying to tell me, look at everybody else, you know. Those are the attacks. I look at everybody else but me and realize, okay, Joe, this is your walk. Yeah, this is not everyone else's walk and yours, but this is yours.
That's right.
Stop looking at everybody else and where they are and look at yourself. So, the enemy's getting my eyes on everybody else. Oh, hey, this person received a word. Oh, hey, this has happened. Oh, hey, the Lord spoke to this person. Hold up, Joe.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
So he's got me running around like crazy on that.
Yeah, don't worry about it. Yeah, amen. George says, you're in love with an everlasting love, and that's from God.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. Amen. Don't never forget that it's not man who judges you. It's God, and he judges you with a gracious and merciful judgment. As long as you're going forward with him, you're counted righteous, brother. You got that same white garment on as I'm trying to think of the prophet that had that. Who was that? Joshua? No. Yeah, Joshua. Okay. Y'all be blessed. We'll see y'all Tuesday. Yeah, Pat.
Oh. Goodbye. Good night, everybody.
All right, good night.
Good night.